A man believes on me, though he were mortal, yet shall he live. Always when you find the dead burying the dead, and you find that word dead in here, we're being told that that is the nature of the human race. And it's a false state of being. Now, if you've been present and seen the master in the garden is Mary, and if you had been sufficiently versed in his message to know the truth, you would have known that before the crucifixion and before the resurrection and after the crucifixion and after the resurrection, Christ had not changed. Christ was the same before and after. All that had changed was in the world mind. And to this minute, Christ has not changed. Christ never changes. Christ is always the same. All that can change is the world mind in you or the consciousness of truth in you. When you know the unchanging Christ in you, the resurrection becomes experience instead of words in a book. And that resurrection experience is what most of us are going through and have been going through now for some time. Until we emerge into the pure light and mortality is no longer a myth to baffle us, to frighten us, to deceive us. I'm hopeful that today the spirit of the resurrection will dwell in every heart, that we can learn to accept within us the truth that the eye of our own being is already the resurrected self, free of the material world, independent of form, and that we can learn to live in and accept that I, resurrected self, not as a future event, but as the present truth of being that we are all joint heirs in I, the resurrected self. This is about our midway point, and so we'll meditate on this. As we close our eyes, our function is to know that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was the teaching that I, Spirit, is my name. I am that Christ which was teaching resurrection. Resurrection isn't an event that happened in the past, nor is it an event that will happen in the future. Resurrection is the revelation of the identity of mankind. That all I can ever be is the living Spirit of God. It is the consciousness that must be resurrected, so that my consciousness must be lifted out of its false beliefs. This is where I dwell. Go into the tomb of body now. Enter your body. Look around. You will not find the Lord there. You will not find Christ in that body. Christ is the life of God. Resurrection says, I cannot continue to live in this body. Christ is not here. Resurrection says, I am the Christ. This body has no existence except in mortal mind. I'm living in a dream body. And as long as I continue to, I will have only relationships with other dream forms. I am an invisible body, made of infinite spirit. I am going through this level of the world mind. I'm not going to stop here. I'm not going to be imprisoned, entombed in a body not created by God, which does not contain His life. I am stepping out of world concept. I am divine life itself. And if I have any body, it must be a divine body. It cannot be this mortal body. I am living in my invisible divine body now. And this concept that the world sees is but a level of human consciousness, a mental image. I am proceeding beyond it. I and the Father are one life. One life is revealed as the only life there is. And that life can never be put into a tomb, can never be put into a grave, can never be put into a sepulcher. That life has no beginning, that life has no end. And that life, I truly am. To become conscious of that life is my resurrection. That is my life work. To become conscious of the life that can never be entombed. And that is your second birth. When you become conscious of that life, you are reborn of the Spirit and the Word. Not world mind, but the Word of God is made flesh. Let's pause a moment now. In the ninth verse of the 20th chapter, there's a very important statement. John says, "For as yet they knew not the Scripture, that he must rise again from the dead." Those who believe they're living in mortal forms are the dead. And they knew not the Scripture that he, Christ, must rise from the dead. That Christ must be realized in the consciousness of those who think they're walking in mortal forms. This is the next step in all evolution of man on earth. And the importance of it is this. Scripture must be fulfilled. You've noticed that the Scripture may be fulfilled as spoken always, and always there's an appearance that corresponds to a prophecy It goes way, way back to either Isaiah or Ezekiel or Daniel or someone of that spiritual consciousness. And then out here in the physical world it appears, because Scripture must be fulfilled. And the Scripture says, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But this I who goes away is your physical sense of self. If the personal I goes not away, the Christ in you will not raise you from the tomb of mortality. And Scripture must be fulfilled, so you're in conflict with the Spirit and the will of God unless you are cooperating. Unless you can say, the Father worketh hitherto and I work, whatever the Father's will is in me, I am doing, and not putting roadblocks in the way or not ignoring, you're in conflict with the very spirit of your own being. And so again, Scripture says, sell all thou hast. All. That means every concept that is in conflict with Scripture must be sold or put aside. Every belief that we have is part of all that we have. Until you're willing to accept that only what the Father gives me do I have. And what the Father does not give me, I do not have. Then you have sold all that thou hast. The Scripture in you that must be fulfilled is that you be perfect as your Father. And therefore, the one divine life is revealed as your life now. That one divine life is not going to be resurrected. Christ has always been alive. I am the resurrection, says Christ. And by believing that the resurrection could be resurrected, religion has lost its way. By not knowing the identity of he who says, I am the resurrection, as the indwelling spirit of every man, religion has missed the point. I and you must be accepted, and you must pass beyond the mental acceptance. Christ in you must be raised from the dead sense of a material being. And now then, we're interested then in the Christ experience, which is the resurrection experience. And you'll notice that nobody goes into the tomb as a group. Each goes in individually. You are faced with the necessity for meeting this in your own individual consciousness. And there's no one is going to do it with you in that consciousness. You either are going to accept that I, in the midst of you, am the risen Christ, or you are going to continue to believe that in some way God created mortal material beings. And then you're going to be watching the heartbeat and the pulse beat and the temperature and the blood pressure, thinking these are an indication of whether you're healthy or not. In the midst of you at this moment is the meaning that Christ, where you stand, is all that is there. That there is no mortal being there. That there is no physical body there. And this was true of your mother. This was true of your father. And we discover that resurrection tells us that parents aren't parents as we have known them to be. And children are in children as we have known them to be. And people are in people as we have known them to be. And we're alone when we come to this realization. There's nobody to hold us up. This is the single narrow pathway that you walk through. And until you are ready to banish the material concept of the world and walk this path, you are rejecting Christhood. That's fine if you just want to get to Chicago. But this class is whittled down to those who want to go all the way. And all the way means out of humanhood. Then Christ will walk through the wall of your consciousness and enter the room, which is the room where you are waiting on the Lord, where you are in the Sabbath of the mind. And you will be lifted to that Sabbath which is called the Eternal Sabbath. And you will learn how to go through the mystic death. The mystic death takes you to that place where you have reached the level of consciousness which no longer is earthbound, finite, material, mortal, living in space, living in time, living in any form of lack or limitation. You are pure spiritual consciousness realized that has nothing to do with a mortal person. That spiritual consciousness never needs resurrection. It is the resurrection. That spiritual consciousness is the only self we can ever be. And so the Master says, "My peace passeth understanding." Because resurrection revealed takes us beyond all of the known methods of living, beyond the emotional, beyond the mental, beyond the physical, beyond the rational. It takes us into a realm of spirit. Where all of our normal reactions are absent. Where nothing that we can quite comprehend is taking place. We're in a different atmosphere. Mary was in that atmosphere for a while. It was then that she was able to bring forth that image which would be the leader of mankind. She was out of the way. She was not in a sense of matter or materiality or mortality or humanhood. She was dwelling in the spirit of her own being as a pure soul. Unless you have the experience of being a pure soul, there is still a dual you, another self that isn't. And you will experience that other self. You will be lingering in the midway mark, unwilling to walk into the tomb and make the great discovery that the tomb only exists in the mind of the world. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. The word forgive also means erase. And you are being told to erase from your consciousness the belief that they are out there external to yourself. You are truly the one divine self. There are no divisions in your being between you and someone else. You can never come to that place while you still inhabit a mortal form in your consciousness. Now suppose you were to take this as your assignment for this week. Not to dwell in the consciousness that I am not a mortal being for 24 consecutive hours, but to establish two meditations a day, every day, in which this becomes the purpose of your meditation. I am not a mortal being. I am that life which exists before Adam and Eve. That life which was always living and ever will live. I am the resurrection. I am the one that is the only. I am not a passing self in a passing form. And if you make this the subject of your contemplation, to be followed by the Sabbath of the mind, the silence, you will be lifted by the very Spirit itself. And then if you make that your second meditation of the day and repeat this spontaneously without any formula, so that twice a day for 6 or 7 days or whatever it's going to be until we meet again, you are for a period of 5 to 10 minutes twice a day resting in the awareness of who you are, and then signing off the mind so that the inner spirit can establish its identity in your consciousness. You will at least be trying to accept the meaning of resurrection, not as words in a book or as an event in history, but as the living experience that every self must come through until it knows itself to be the only self, the one infinite self. This is our real resurrection, the experience that I am the one self, and beside me there is no other. Myself is walking this earth everywhere, appearing as the forms that I see. I am that invisible self. I am the life of everything that moves and the life of everything that is still. I am the life of inanimate objects. I am the life of every form. I am the self behind every visible condition. I am the resurrection. I am the living kingdom of God on earth. This is the nature of your meditation twice a day. And I know it will lift you. It will teach you. It will open you. And you will be fulfilling Scripture to that extent. The great work we have ahead of us is the announcement within by the Spirit itself that I am come. And I will say this to you many times. At many intervals. But it is always saying this to you, and the times that you hear it will be when you rise to these higher levels of self-awareness, to bring into consciousness that which is always present, saying, I am come. Forgive the world. Erase from your consciousness all that you thought was happening. Sell all thou hast. And listen, for I in the midst of you, for I am the resurrection and the life. and I am the way, and I am the seventh heaven. And I will feed you spiritual bread. Then we will find that Christmas Day for us will be that moment when the new substance of spirit, which was ever present, is born in us again, reuniting us with our eternal self. That will be the moment of Bethany, the house of substance, when the living bread of the Spirit in you becomes your awareness that I am the living Christ, the infinite Christ. This will be our resurrection, and it will continue and continue and continue until that moment called Christmas, Christ born in you, becomes a reality. That resurrection means all incarnation is over. For the second birth is the end of reincarnation. When the true self is realized, your mission on earth is nearing its close. You can stay. You can continue to fulfill the mission of the light. You can even return if you wish, as you know. But learning the lesson that I am the light of God on earth is what you're here for. And when you live in it, knowingly, you will find that you are a pillar in the temple of the Father and you go no more out. That's what we've all been preparing for. And it's worth many, many seeming problems on the way. It's even worth a few tragedies. Because in the moment of illumination you will see that every tragedy was an illusion. All that is present is the presence. All that is present is the eternal perfection of being. There is nothing else present. In your resurrection experience, you can say, Thou seest me, thou seest the Father, we are one. And so this is the way we face our real Christmas. Christ in you, born through the willingness, the love, the faith to release mortal sins. Not halfway, but selling all thou hast. I assure you, it is lonely. And yet, infinity has a way of bringing to you many glorious surprises once that tinge of loneliness is overcome. For in the fullness, the loneliness disappears. And again and again and again, you are raised back to that fullness until it is sealed. You have no way of knowing how short the time may be, nor have I. For the new age is very closely upon us. We're learning about what we had thought was our individual resurrection, but we're really not. It's the resurrection of the world. And that resurrection of the world is just as close as the resurrection in your consciousness is. You are playing that role in the resurrection of this world, out of the false sense of corporeality, into my kingdom, realized. Our theme will continue to be the 20th chapter, Jesus walking through the wall, Thomas being converted, but all of this will be a further heightening of our own resurrection experience. And from there, in the mystical interval between resurrection and ascension, to see the difference between the two. And finally, from that strength to stand in world work, so that perhaps when we meditate here about the earthquake we know can't occur, we can include Nicaragua and not limit our consciousness to that place where we stand physically. Always we'll be learning that we must dwell in the conscious awareness that the carnal mind of the world is the only adversary, and never localize down to a head cold or a pain in the arm. And if you remember in our meditation on the earthquake, that's where we were. I would call that my error. But we learn by these errors. And so before we disband, which will be, let's see, we have three more classes in this series, we must learn to be more omnipresent in our consciousness when we do our world work. Now, while you are accepting I am the resurrection, that omnipresent consciousness that you must be in must accept that I am the infinite resurrection. You can't localize down to resurrection on the place where your feet are. I am the infinite resurrection. Myself is the only self in this entire spiritual universe. I am the one infinite spirit. That's quite a jump out of being mortal matter for all these years. So make that your meditation. And be prepared, through your reading of the 20th chapter of John, to go into some interesting details about the spiritual nature of that chapter. It would help if you have read it, because then you will find you have a deeper capacity to hear what Spirit wishes to reveal. Maybe this is a good time to say thank you to so many of you. Or maybe that can come next week. But I do want you to know how grateful we are here that we can share these beautiful truths together, and that in some way your response to the inner spirit of your own being has made this possible. It has been a very moving year for me. More so because we have seen great changes in the students who have worked with us. We have been invited to share with them their living experiences. And we know that the Spirit has definitely made a great entrance into the consciousness of our group. From that point of view, we are deeply grateful. To all of you, a very joyous Christmas. Thank you.